This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Bruce Feldman wrote about the medical information that led the Pac-12 to ultimately rule on not playing during this and maybe getting to spring football, late winter, whatever it ends up being. You can find that on Twitter. We just tweeted it out. Bruce Feldman is on Twitter at Bruce Feldman CFB, and he's on The Athletic and Fox Sports as well. Bruce, thank you for hopping on with us here in Portland, man. We always appreciate the time. What have you made of the last week and a half of college football and just where this thing has gone?
Right. It's been a roller coaster, guys. Now, obviously, with the news of both the Pac-12 and the Big Ten saying they're not playing in the fall, the story I did on The Athletic yesterday that went up, I had talked to a bunch of not just medical experts and also some ADs, but pretty much half the coaches in the conference. And the thing to me that really hit home was when you start hearing football coaches sound like they are scared because of the information that the medical experts presented to them, I thought it was pretty eye-opening. And look, there was more than one element of this. A big piece of it certainly was the concerns about heart issues and myocarditis, but there's also the element, I think this gets glossed over maybe in some of the Twitter chatter, what we had reported is that there were numerous hot spots identified in the Pac-12 at schools where the medical experts said they would have had to ramp up testing to almost daily levels at, I think it's five of these schools. And the reality that they had assessed is they wouldn't be able to actually have gotten that capacity till November. And then you start getting into the issues of whether it was the right thing to take those resources maybe away when you're from someplace else to direct it all to a college football program to make something work. So there was that element. And I think, the part of my story that we did, there was a line in there where you hear from Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, just talking about why they're pressing forward. And one of the coaches in the Pac-12 said to me, goes, they're not clearly getting the information we got. Mm-hmm. And they did not hear what we heard, and or they don't want to know. And that's the thing that I think was particularly damning in that regard. And so, look, right now, I think the part that I think is a curious thing to me is how much sharing of information is going on around the college football world between these medical experts, because it didn't seem like there was a lot between the Big Ten and the Pac-12, or certainly between those two conferences and the ACC and the SEC and the Big 12. And so I think that's the part where you're scratching your head going, look, you guys have gathered some data now because you've all had college football players come back and do your own protocols and procedures. Mm-hmm. You would hope that would give them a little more information to make more informed decisions. But I was told it wasn't like there's some kind of registry where they're keeping all this data that they're finding. And to me, that was kind of a head scratcher in all this.
It's another question of where is the NCAA at in that? That would be nice of them to put together for all the conferences to use. I love the piece, Bruce, just because I think a lot of people were frustrated and wondering, we just want answers. Why is there not going to be football? And it was a really detailed explanation of what was presented to the coaches, the medical information. And for anybody who hasn't read it, I would suggest to do so. But to your point
on the different science and different conferences. I think it almost sums up kind of where we're at as a country right now. But will we get to the point where the other conferences have to, not have to, but feel the pressure, I guess, to publicly release, here's what we're finding? Because I've seen like some parents in the Big Ten are writing letters and they want their kids to play, but Kevin Warren hasn't really released that information. We don't know quite what the Big 12, ACC, and SEC are seeing. Are we going to get to that point where we're going to get to know the science from every conference and why they're making the decision they're making?
I hope so. I think we'll get a little closer because I do think there's some pressure on the SEC, especially to be a little more transparent, because on one hand, the Big Ten schools, most of them have at least put out, okay, here's how many players got tested. Here's how many were positive. Here's how many are asymptomatic. Now, no one has said that, hey, look, we had a couple of players who have been, had to be hospitalized, or there's some of that information has gotten out anecdotally because either players or their parents have taken to social media to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And for HIPAA concerns and some issues of privacy, I think there's one thing to say, hey, we're not going to mention specific players in this. But as it relates to the SEC not even disclosing any of the information, I think that has added to the concern. So I think that part of it may get a little closer, but to be perfectly honest, I thought, and the day of the announcement, I was on Big Ten Network, not probably a half hour after the commissioner, Kevin Warren, was on there. And Dave Revson, the host of BTN, really pressed him on some issues about specific issues of why they arrived at the decision they did. Not only that, he talked about myocarditis, and Kevin Warren did not go anywhere near any specifics. And this is when he has the whole sports world at least focused on the Big Ten news at that point. That would have been, to me, a really good opportunity to explain what is going on and why you made the decision. And he steered clear of it, and he went out of his way seemingly to steer clear of it, which to me I thought was a very questionable at best decision, especially considering like we at The Athletic probably an hour later got information from a high-ranking Big Ten source saying that at least 10 players in the Big Ten they are suspected to be suffering from myocarditis. To me, if you're Kevin Warren, it probably behooves you to put out some of that information to explain this is why we did what we did, and they chose not to. So right now, I think we're in just a like it's a weird place, as you guys said. It's some kind of a microcosm of a bigger issue right now, and you just keep your fingers crossed that things will ease up and get better.
This is national college football writer Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, Fox Sports as well, and the Audible podcast with him and Stuart Mandel on Twitter at Bruce Feldman CFB. Going through the piece, what came through my mind, Bruce, was it's great to read about the Pac-12 and what coaches and ADs were saying, whether they put their name on it or not, because I think sharing the information is vital. And kind of to piggyback off my co-host's last question, Doesn't it benefit every conference if they work together to be on the same page in this instance? Why did that not happen? Why do we have three separating from two? Did something lead to this, or is this the kind of way it's always been where conferences run on their own timeline, their own decisions, and the other four can be damned? It just doesn't seem like it was very smart to kind of separate the Power Five the way they did. Why did they not come together on that?
It's a good question. I think some of it has to do with the nature of college football has always been very regionalized. And I think what has further driven it is, look, we're dealing with a pandemic, and this has gotten certain states have been dealing with different issues than maybe other parts of the country haven't. This thing has gotten way crazy politicized, and that hasn't made it any easier. And I think there's an element which you guys alluded to a little bit ago is the NCAA has completely been asleep at the wheel with this, right? I mean, there's been absolutely no leadership on this front, and that has only made it worse. So it's kind of the worst kind of case scenario is this, is all those factors kind of come together in a pandemic, which, by the way, is different than, it's not like your weatherman or your weather person predicts you're going to have a tornado tomorrow. Whatever one of the three of us do, it doesn't impact whether it happens or not. It's right. Going to happen.
Right.
Right. Well, this is a pandemic and it's a virus. Human behavior does factor into that. So I just think it's like all these, you know, bad factors have kind of gotten twisted together, and this is kind of where we're at. And it's just unfortunate, right? Because we're seeing just as it relates to certainly college athletics, we're seeing a huge void in leadership.
Should we be worried about the future of the collective Power Five during this? Or do you think whatever ends up happening, they're still going to kind of come together by next year or the year after and kind of be normalized again?
I'd like to think that. You know, it's hard to say just because, you know, you see stuff like Nebraska really just kind of popping off to a large degree and trying to buck the system within the Big Ten. And you're like, man, how is that going to ease back into the fold 6 months ago? Will people forget about that? And, you know, it's like you say things in the heat of the moment, and are those things forgotten easily, right? It just feels like these sports, these conferences are so out for their own best interest, which I kind of understand, but it's like, you know, all this talk about how college football needs a commissioner, and I don't disagree with it, but good luck getting like Greg Sankey and the SEC to go, yeah, we're going to go along with that. They never wanted to have the same number of games conference wise as everybody else in the who's trying to make the playoff. So why are they going to do something that is probably, I guess, against what they think is in their best interest? Why is the Big Ten going to do it, right? I mean, they're all kind of just independent contractors who are more comfortable operating in that way than anything else. And so it just shows like how fragmented everything is in the sport right now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Of the three conferences that are carrying on, there were two troubling stories yesterday, and that there might have been more. I just didn't see all the headlines. But the Florida State one opened some eyes, I think, from some people with players taking to social media to voice their concerns about what was happening. And then the Syracuse story, where I think it was reported today that a chunk of the team might end up opting out because of the way things are being handled. Just what have you made of those? And then how many more Syracuse and Florida States are there out there that we just don't know about yet?
Yeah, you worry about them potentially flaring up in other places like that. I mean, I think in this day and age when social, and the different story, I think, with Florida State is that it is at first a more of a social media story right now, because you have players taking to social media and they are on the, you know, they are on the radar at this point, because there's already been some blowback from probably, I don't know, 2 months ago. It's hard to keep track in the pandemic of the timeline with their best player, Marvin Wilson, and new coach, Mike Norvell. Yeah, so This certainly hasn't helped. And then the Syracuse one, I think that one is, you know, you've heard all kinds of rumblings. They're similar in nature. I just think the Syracuse one to this point has been a little more under the radar, because there hasn't been as much of the social media flash. And also, quite honestly, because Syracuse isn't the football brand that FSU is, but neither one is a good situation for the ACC. And I don't, you know, I've heard the Syracuse one could get a little worse, or could get more visible, at least in regards to that. So it's not a not an ideal situation for the AD there, John Wildhack, or certainly Dino Babers, because I don't know how you get in front of how much you can get out in front of a story like that that seems to be, you know, more than just bubbling up, especially in this climate we're in now.
Bruce, did they blow it not taking those months more seriously and maybe getting to a point where collectively they work on a late winter, like a January type start, where it allow them to get more testing in-house for each school, and then by January you try to do what you can? Or is this just kind of what to expect given the global pandemic?
Probably the latter. I mean, like, I don't think it's how realistic it would have been to try to have a bubble for college sports, especially related to football. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, this is a microcosm of something bigger. I mean, clearly we have had huge issues trying to wrangle this pandemic. And like I said, when, you know, it's not surprising that college football would be struggling with it. I mean, you look at a handful of schools. I mean, Boston College has had a ton of tests. They've had one positive. Notre Dame has had really minimal. I mean, I know the University of Washington hasn't had it. Like, there's a bunch of schools. I don't want to say there's a bunch of schools that are doing it right and a bunch of schools that are doing it wrong, but there are plenty of examples within college football around the country of places that seem to have been very proactive. Their student athletes have taken it extremely seriously, their staff, and they're also well-resourced, right? So I think there have been a bunch of those. I think the harder part is, And this speaks to a bigger issue when I talk to some people who are optimistic in the SEC and talk to some trainers who are in the middle of this, and they talk to some of their peers. They feel optimistic how their teams have handled it mm-hmm. now, and they feel like they have a better handle on it, and they feel like the players are taking it more seriously now, like they should. The thing that worries them the most is what happens when the regular students come back. And that's about to happen. And in some cases, it's starting to happen. And how do you control that? Like, one of the things that has come up, a lot this week has been, well, these two conferences decided they're not going to play college football, but what about having regular students there? That's like hypocritical. And, you know, when I talk to the medical experts in the Pac-12, even some of the coaches, the distinction here is that the regular students are expected to social distance and wear masks. They're not playing tackle football. They're not doing 9-on-7 drill. They're not, you know, they're not gathering. They're not supposed to be gathering in groups of 100 and tackling each other and breathing on each other and sweating on each other. And so that's the part where they were saying, look, we have a better chance of containing this when we're working out in small groups and everybody is taking the precautions. It's harder to take those precautions doing football stuff. And I think the issue connected to that is if there is more spread on campuses because there's more cases out there, it's harder to keep it out of your building. And once it gets in your building with a couple of people and they're all together, that's when it's, you know, you're fighting a real big uphill battle.
Right. Jimmy Lake with some pretty strong comments today saying he thinks the other conferences eventually follow suit with what the Pac-12 and Big Ten have already decided. Do you agree with that?
I don't even know if I answered if you heard your question or not.
Oh, just because Jimmy Lake said he thinks that eventually all the Power Five conferences will shut down like the Pac-12 and the Big Ten already have. So just in your gut, do you think we're heading in that direction with the Big 12, the ACC and the SEC?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, like at this point, it's hard to say what they're going to decide because they do have their own medical experts. Right. And, you know, clearly their medical experts are interpreting the information differently, or they have chosen to make a very different risk calculation, right? And so, whereas one of the coaches in the Pac-12 told me for that story, you know what, some of my peers at other places are saying, you know what, we can test for the heart issues. And this coach said, you can test for it. He goes, but you're just going to sit the guy out. You're going to hope he's going to be okay for the rest of his life. My concern is we don't want him to get the heart issue in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's almost that perspective that is the part that's different. And so hopefully, you know, hopefully there will be no issues. And then maybe the concern here will be managed a little better, and it won't be as dire as some of the things that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten fear are happening. I think what circles back in the Pac-12 I can speak to is, hey, we thought we knew a little more about this virus than we actually did. And I think some of the stuff where it was like, wait a minute, some of the things we may have assumed about the virus a month or so ago, those things we're finding out probably aren't as true as we thought, or we're not convinced of it. And I think that lack of clarity is that one of the things that really scares them. And I guess in the some of those other places, they're not as fearful of it.
Yeah. Great stuff, man. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, the Audible podcast with Stuart Mandel and The Athletic. He's got a great piece out about the Pac-12 reaching their conclusion and how they got there. Bruce, you've been on top of it, man. Thank you for stopping in and talking to us for almost 20 minutes. It was very informative, and we really appreciate the time, my man.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.